Hey everybody, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. All right, everybody. Well, today I'm joined by certified translator and e-commerce consultant and also founder of YLT Translations, Jana Krakic. In this episode, we're going to be diving deep into how to scale a business on the international marketplace with the help of your listings. But before I get to that, I've had the pleasure of having three really interesting guests on my other podcast that really doesn't have anything to do with e-com. And I want to talk about just for a brief second, because it was so cool talking to these guys. So Andre Norman, who spent about 14 years behind jail, he was sentenced to 100 years, and what he's done with his life to become a very successful entrepreneur speaker. Anthony Mercury, who was the host of, was the host for 10 years of Hotel Impossible, and jazz musician extraordinaire Scott Mayo. So if you get a chance, check it out. These three will probably be releasing in the next month or two. Over the next month. And guys, if I'm screwing up right now, I'm going to just get through this podcast. I'm not feeling the greatest. I'm sucking on a lozenger, which is not really that professional, but I'm going to cough if I don't. So anyways, that's what I'm doing. Okay, so Kelsey, where are you?
Hello.
Get me out of this. How about you do the podcast? I'll sit back and just, nod and wave.
We got to get one of those fake
smile words. And wave. There, that's what we'll do.
All right. Yes. So don't worry. I'll be by your side here.
Okay. But you've got to mute every cough that happens. Okay.
I'm on it. Okay. So everyone joining us, looks like we got Jackie joining us. Hello. Hello, Dawan. Hello, Jackie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jackie, Dawan. How's it going? Alan.
Oh, yes, Alan, you're here too. Welcome, Alan. So we are, if you're new to the show and you want to see all the past episodes, you can always go straight to our YouTube channel, Norman Farrar. We are a podcast too, so you can find us on Apple and Spotify. Anywhere you listen to your podcast, you can listen to us there. And I just want to give a shout out to our Facebook group. We're getting a ton of members right now, which is great to see. Every episode we go live, we see members come up. We really want to have an area where people can talk about their opinions, advice, questions. Please join. I'll put the link in the comment section. And yeah.
And Melanie, I agree 100%. He is pushing me way too hard. And Alan, I wish I could take a break. Again, he just pushes me way too hard. Hi, Usman. How are you? Okay. All right. So let's see. What's the next thing, Kels? Anybody that has a question, put it over into the right-hand side and we'll get to it. We'll try to get to it during the podcast. If not, we'll answer it after the show. And yes.
So in the Facebook
group. So rudely interrupted.
Yeah, in our Facebook group, we're throwing out the question, because it's a holiday season, what's your holiday meals like today? Or meals during the holiday season? If you guys do anything special for Christmas or any holidays you celebrate. So for us, we have cinnamon buns in the morning. It's a little tradition that we do. So if you guys have a tradition that you guys do for the holiday season, put it in the comments section and we'd love to know. So
you're asking people if they eat turkey or ham?
If they do anything special.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that, I guess, ties into lunch with Norm. This will be Christmas Day or holiday day with Norm. All right. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the show. Jana. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm really, really excited to be here today. Thank you so much, Norm, for inviting me. It's been a while since you invited me, but here's my day. I've been waiting for 2 months and here I am.
Oh, my gosh. This is the power of networking, right? We've been able to not only know a little bit about each other's business, but, you know, become friends over the last year or so. And, you know, that's what's great about going to events. And, you know, these virtual events or, you know, virtual summits are also, they're great. You learn things. But being able to go out and meet people like yourself, it's so cool that, you know, you all of a sudden you get to know people. So when all this is over, never stop listening to Lunch with Norm, number one. But if you do get a chance, to go to these events, you got to do it and ask questions. And it doesn't matter if you're on stage or if you're in the audience, get to know the people beside you, get to know the speakers. But it's a really great community. And I don't know too many people that would push you off if you did have a question. It's a great community. So anyways, Jana, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Right. So I am, as you said, I'm a certified translator. So that's my background in languages. I speak five of them. And I am also the owner of Wild Tea Translations. We help sellers scale to international marketplaces. And I'm also, I know a lot about e-commerce. I was working in one of the leading e-commerces in Europe for about 8 years. I was their operations manager, business development manager, all of the, you know, positions you can have in a company. And they scaled from like 5 employees to over 400. So it was a really, really great experience. And I was just really, you know, that's when Amazon caught my attention. And I thought that there's so much more that we could do when it comes to international marketplaces other than just using Google Translate or some just regular translations. And that turned out to be a very good decision for me and for sellers out there, hopefully. Yeah.
I had a promotions company way back, and the customer wanted us, it was a trucking company that were doing Christmas cards, and so it said Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. So they took care of the Spanish translation. They said, oh, you're in Canada, take care of the French translation. And I went, I got it translated for them, okay, properly. It's not too hard to do in Canada for that. But they went ahead and got the Spanish translation done. And about a day after Christmas, I started getting all these nasty, nasty messages, blaming me, of course. They said that they would take care of the Spanish, but I guess the Spanish said, Merry Christmas and Happy New Ass. I don't know how that happened, but that's what it was. And I got the blame, of course.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've seen, like, tons of, like, these products, you know, like, one of my favorite examples of what I came across, and that, you know, it's a bestseller, but it just completely like a lot of mumbo jumbo in the title. It's actually like it should be in French, and it's a toy. It's like a chewing toy for dogs. And in one of the, you know, keywords they use the word fart. So, you know, and that's a word like in French, which means like a toy, but in other contexts, it means a fart. So they were like selling like a fart toy and stuff like that. I mean, there's so many. There was also like a bikini, and then it says like bikini for fat women in Spanish.
That's nice.
It says like, yeah, it says like Dona Grosso, which means fat lady, not like a plus size lady or anything, you know, more politically correct than that. But I come across all of these like all the time. And I remember when they launched Amazon Sweden, that was such a big mess. And they even like dedicated, like I read it like in The Economist, like all these like serious newspapers, they were just like, look at what Amazon did on Amazon Sweden. And they just completely trashed like all the products at that point. They were like a lot of really like, they were profound words. They were ridiculous words. They're like nothing that had to do with any of the products that were being sold. So, and it was like a big launch. It was like announced and everything, you know, and it was just crazy. So that happens all the time. So.
Nothing like using Google Translation when you're doing product
nothing
packaging
like
or, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So, manual, anything, yeah.
Let's just talk about translations for a bit, and then we'll get into some of these other questions about international marketplaces. Mm-hmm. But the importance, the costs for translations. So a lot of people are very cost conscious when they're launching their product. But I think translation is probably one of those areas that you got to spend money. And how do you do it? Where do people contact translators and what does it usually cost?
Right. So it's really important to have, first of all, a native translator. When you're doing the listing, the product listings in Amazon, like you can have a lot of translators that can just translate the text and it's fine as it is. But the problem occurs when you want to insert keywords. And for a person who has learned a language, let's say like went to school for like I studied Norwegian, for instance. And for instance, like even though like I sound close to a native person, maybe if I use these keywords and put them in a text, I will kind of ruin it. I will ruin the natural flow of it. And translators who've learned the language in their life, no matter how good they are, they don't have to be amazing Amazon translators, because when they use keywords in a sentence or in a text, they would not hear this nuance that completely trashes like the whole sentence, or like you know, like word order, something's not just right, and they don't see it. And only native translators who are just like born and raised in that country of that language, let's say Germany, they would know what they did wrong. So that's really important. So Amazon product translations are not your regular translations. Like you can translate manuals, you can translate follow-up emails, everybody can do that, but Amazon product listing translations are something very special, and you need some training with, let's say, Helium 10 or any other tools to understand how it works and like what keywords you should place, what not to do keyword stuffing. So a lot of people would go on Fiverr, and a lot of people think that, you know, translations just cost, I don't know, like $15. Like I would have like the US clients telling me like, well, our budget is like $20 per product, you know? And if we take an example, like if the regular translator, like a decent translator, they want to be paid at least 5 cents per word. A decent translator doesn't want to be paid like 1 cent or 2 cents. Then we're talking, I mean, I'm not calling out names or anything, but like, for instance, translators from India are charging 1 or 2 cents. And those translations are of course, poor translations. A good translator who has a lot of experience and know what they're doing is going to charge at least 5 cents. And that's like super low rate as well. And then on top of that, you have also keywords. You know how much time it takes to do a proper keyword research. So like one product listing, it takes a couple of days for it to get done. You cannot do like a listing in like 2 hours. That's not going to be a good one. Like for instance, we have full-time translators, and I know that my senior translator, depending on the length of the product and how complicated it is, he or she could do 3 products in 8 hours. This is like senior level and probably like some easier products. So if somebody tells you like, yes, I can do this like in an hour, or I can do 10 products in 2 hours, that's probably not going to be like such a satisfying quality, definitely, especially if they're doing keyword research, which is, you know, very important. And then like on other marketplaces, like Jungle Scout has its marketplace. Like I've seen that some freelancers, they charge anywhere between $70 to like $120. And that's how much this should cost, because it takes a lot of time, money, and experience. And I just think that that's something which is, you know, I think this is that's how much it should cost. Nothing below like $30 per listing, and that's like if you're lucky, definitely.
But you get what you pay for, right?
Yeah, I mean, but people think that they would pay like $15 and they will just get superb quality, you know, because people don't know how much that costs. And translators are not machines. I mean, it's great that Google Translate or what's it called, I think it's a Dibble. It's like the German software tool. It's kind of a little bit better than Google Translate. But if all of this is for free, then you cannot expect to have a good quality. But people don't understand that. If you pay a lot of money for A+ content, photography, PPC, everything, then why be so cheap on translations? These are not just words and machines. Like, why don't you use Google Translate to kind of make, as a copywriter for your, you know, listing translation? And also another mistake is that people use Google Translate for quality control. So don't do that, because a lot of times Google Translate would not be doing a good thing. Because, you know, like Google Translate can probably help you figure out how does your vacuum cleaner work or how to fix your washing machine, but it's not gonna give you like, you know, storytelling, branding, style, and everything you want. I mean, if it's for free, there's probably a catch, right? And definitely Google Translate and all the other free tools are not the way to go when it comes to product listings. Definitely not. And cheap translators, it's a major no-no.
Yeah, I find Google Translate's really good for ordering dim sum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not that so much for your listing. Yeah. And there's subtleties. So even in English, let's say it's your listing or if you're writing content, I could order content from the Philippines. And there's different levels of writers, of course, or from India or from Costa Rica or whatever. They could be some good writers, but it's the subtleties of knowing how to write for the North American market or the EU market that I have no idea how to write for Germany or whatever. And that's what I'm hiring a good translator for, to bring out the best in the listing. And you said you're doing your own keyword research, which go to Google Translate and try to do that. It's just all these new ones. I told you I have got a cold today, but it's all these little subtleties that that you have to know to really bring it out in your listing. And one of the things, do you do this at all? I always put at least one bullet in, like in Canada, it would be French. I don't really sell in the Canadian market, but in the US market, Spanish, just for your last bullet. Do you do anything like that?
To put a bullet? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, just one of your bullets. So you get, you know, five bullets of right, information. Yeah. So the fifth bullet, I'll put in Spanish.
Oh, that. No, we don't do that because it doesn't sound, we don't mix languages in the front end listing. But what we do, like in back end, you're definitely going to put some Spanish keywords. For instance, like on the US, for the US listing, it's a good idea to put like, you know, Spanish Mexican in back end, definitely. And sometimes if you definitely know that people are looking for like a really high search volume keyword, you might put that in the title, but we would not mix languages. But I think the most important thing with listings is definitely the keywords that you use. So I just think that if something has to be in a different language, I would definitely use those keywords. And I would use that in back end because sometimes it just looks weird, you know, unless you're selling like, I don't know, like some Spanish oriented, Mexican oriented, like, I don't know, like flag or I don't know, anything that has Mexican, you know, characteristics on it, then it would make sense. But if you're selling, let's say like, I don't know, like a bonsai tree kit, I would not put any like Mexican like bullets on it, even though if I'm selling it on the US marketplace, I would put that in back end. So it really depends on the product, but we haven't done that yet because a lot of sellers, they don't want that. They're kind of afraid that when you use a different language, they don't understand. They're like, oh my God, like, I don't know what's in there. And like people are afraid of like things they don't understand. And that's also like when it comes to your consumers, they're probably not going to buy something they don't understand. Even the price is lower than your competitor. If they're not 100% sure like what this product is about, they're not going to buy it.
I just to give you a fun example. So I sell soap. And so I bought this domain. It was in Japanese soap club. And so we were getting lots of traffic to the site. We were wondering why we were getting so much traffic. Well, found out that the version of soap that I was saying meant brothel in Japanese. It was a slang for brothel. So, all right, great. I guess that was a good way to get a lot of traffic.
Oh, my God. But,
yeah, true story. Anyways, I just wanted to give a few shout-outs here. Hey, Alan, again, thanks for joining. Sylv, Stocking, yes, you go, girl. I told you, I'm spying on you as well. Anyways, Rad, Usman, Simon's back. Danny, hey, how are you? Glad you can join us today. And let me see. And Facebook users, who I have no idea who that is, but thanks for joining.
That is Faye.
Oh, Faye, okay, great. Kels, any questions?
There was one from Usman, actually, just to clarify. So $120 per listing for any language. Is that?
Well, this is, I mean, I've seen I've seen everything from 60 to 120 per listing per language. So there are like a lot of like pricing range there, but I'm sure you can find something for cheaper.
Yeah. And it's not a fixed price. It could be, it's variable. So, but again, just really want to stress because, you know, we can say this, and a lot of time there's selective hearing. And, you know, you might hear that 120. It doesn't mean it's got to be 120. It might be $20, but I don't know.
I know. It really depends. Yeah. Like, I think, like, you know, if you want to ask someone, you really have to. I mean, I know a lot of sellers are not comfortable in sharing their products. But if you want to get a good quote, you have to show your ASIN to the translator or to whoever you want to hire, because it really depends. As you said, like, it could be, like, $20 because you just need little like fix in the bullets. You don't need like the whole listing. So it really, really depends on what you want and you know, who's going to do it for you.
Right. Now, Silv, I just noticed, can't read what she said because I'm an old guy, but Kels, what is Silv talking about? Kels, you got one job. Be on it.
I was doing another thing on the Facebook group. Okay, Silv. So I find that in the non-English speaking markets, there's a lot of content stealing. Our listings get copied all the time by the Chinese sellers in Poland, which is really frustrating. How can we protect our copywriting? Would this be something that could be part of your service, as in some sort of protection? I think people would find it useful.
That's interesting.
I'm glad I don't have to answer it.
I mean, this is interesting. I haven't thought about that because I mean, Chinese sellers, I think they copy basically everything, but I'm not sure how I would be able to protect the copywriting. You probably would have to register somewhere for something, as you have like the brand registry and the trademark and everything, but I'm not quite sure if there's something that will protect your content. I'm pretty sure that for now, as others do copywriting, they do research on their competitors, and they of course take some of the really cool key points and features, whatever you like, you take that and put into your listing if you're doing copywriting or something similar to that. And Chinese are just doing that with a little bit less style, I would say. They're not doing any rewritings or anything, so just kind of copy paste that. So I mean, this is a really good idea, but I'm not sure what you could do to protect the content. If somebody knows, please let me know.
Do you know,
Norm? What do you think?
Here's an idea, and I know I've done this, but for an Amazon listing, because it's a free marketplace, that might be an answer for Rich Goldstein or a question for Rich Goldstein,
right,
or Yale Cavalli, you know,
we'll
reach out to them and get that. But here's something that we've done. So when we're developing our copy, we'll do two things. We'll put it up. We can register for copyright, but from what I understand from Rich, I'm not a lawyer. That's my disclaimer. But once it's published, that's the official copyright. But to be more safe, you can send it in. Now, take that information. And if you're using that information and register it with a company like Copyscape, you can then have, like, when that gets published anywhere else other than Amazon, you'll be notified. So that's one thing that you can do. And you can put, Copyscape has a little button that you can put on just showing that it's protect, all the content's protected by Copyscape. But then if they use it on Amazon, now you can go after them. Because it's copywritten on your website outside of Amazon, your website is your material, so that's something that you can look at. Now, I have had that happen, and it's like pulling nails. And if anybody on the call does have any ideas on how you can protect that, because when I have called Amazon, they say it's a free marketplace. Now, if they're showing that product and you've got transparency program, or brand registry probably would help. I've never tried it that way. But again, I'm not 100% sure. The option is, like, option A would be on your e-com site. The other thing, by the way, too, for copyright, So some people, it costs money. They don't want to do that. Register it. So just send it registered mail to yourself. Don't open it. Just on the envelope, just say what it is. And I've got a million envelopes of copy that's just sitting there waiting for somebody to steal it. So anyways, that's what we do. It's a very cheap, inexpensive way of showing a postmark when you publish your copy. So
I definitely agree with the website. Yeah, I mean, if you write that on your website, it's your copywriting. It's protected by your, you know, like it says like copywriting protected and everything that's on your website. But I really don't know what you can do if you're like writing that only on Amazon. And as they said, it's like a free marketplace. So I don't know, like you will probably have to have that somewhere else, as you said, like on the website or, you know, any other external channel where you can prove that this is yours and then this is being copied by an unknown Amazon seller, for instance.
And that's a very interesting question. So especially with transparency. So if you've got transparency, you own the listing, you basically own the product. You've proven that you own the product. There's no, I'm going to post that into the group and figure that one out. But we're talking about translation, which kind of feeds into what we're initially going to start off with, was international marketplaces. So, Jana, can you talk to us a little bit about localization and why is it important?
Yeah, definitely. This is what CB says here. He says that they protect their brand in the UK and they play on their Britishness. You know, that's a really good example of localization. And if you try to, for instance, even translate, it's not like copy and make the same duplicate your listing. But if you try to just translate this, like let's say to German language, and if you just translate that as it is, it's going to sound ridiculous in German because this Britishness just doesn't play well on the German marketplace. And I love one example we did with an espresso cup. So like it was a US seller, it was a US listing. They had this glass espresso cup and US listings, and they have like the salesy tone, they have your sales pitch, they like to play with words. So this espresso cup says like the first or second bullet was just like your grandmother used to boil, I don't know what, in front of her fireplace, blah, blah, blah. This is like the bullet. While as the German bullet, like the same second bullet says thermal isolated glass. They're like, show me the features of the product. Like, how do I use it? Like, don't tell me about your grandma and your grandkids and whatever. You know, like, will it burn my fingers? It won't because it's a thermal isolated glass. Aha. Okay, let me scroll down to A+ content. And there's like so many like, bullets like that that were done for the US style especially. But you cannot just translate that as it is and put it on the German marketplace. The Germans will be like, I don't really understand this, you know? And also like US sales is a little bit, you know, pushy and aggressive. And it's like, buy my product. You know, Germans hate it. Germans are like, I don't want you to tell me that your product is amazing. Like I will be the judge of that. And don't push me into buying anything. And also, I don't know if you guys know, but like Germany is from all the worldwide marketplaces gives out the most refunds. So if people don't understand it correctly, if they're, I'm not gonna say lured, but if they kind of thought that they bought something else, they're gonna return it and you'll have to refund them, unfortunately. So like Germans are like straight to like very straightforward, like tell me what your product does, tell me the key features, and then you can go a little bit about your brand and storytelling and A+ content. I mean, of course, this depends on the product. If you're selling like a toy for kids, like a bug, like bunny for your like a toddler, of course you're gonna have to use a little bit of a different language. You cannot just be like, oh, like features clean design, you know, like everything, like you're addressing somebody else or an adult. You're selling this as a toy for kid, so definitely going to have to be very careful with that and how far you can go with these like a sweet talk and like selling the product and just explaining like what this toy is to somebody else who's not US citizen. So that's very important. And localization is even more important than, you know, a good translation, because you have to understand the mentality of the people you're selling to. You have to understand how these people talk, how they address other people. Also when writing follow-up emails, there's so many different rules where you write an email in English and when you write an email in German. Also, we did this like a pioneer had like a very big like an ad for some conference that they were exhibiting at. And the text was like, our customer care is very humble and we go beyond our customer needs or whatever. And in German, if you say that it's humble, it doesn't sound very much professional. Like humble and care is like for, you know, old people's home or like for hospitals, not for your like professional like payment service provider, right? So we had to like, you know, change that to kind of something that was like, we are professional and we take care of our clients in terms of like care, but like to point out that we are very they are very professional and they take care of their clients, not like, you know, we take care of your health and stuff like that. We take you to hospital, we buy you food and stuff like that. So it's really important because you're going to send a completely wrong message to these people and they will just understand that, okay, this is probably not for me. It's not what I'm looking for. Because you can easily get, you know, lost in translation and confused and convey a wrong message if you just stick to the original text 100%. You have to do a little bit of rewriting when you do translations, just because they the target audience needs to understand that in sense of their own mentality and their own language spirit. And that's really important. And as all of you know, you have idioms in every language which cannot be translated as they are to other languages. So just imagine you having a listing and having plenty of idioms and just having that translated as it is to other, you know, languages, and it would make no sense to people reading those, definitely.
We have a common friend, Elena Saris.
Oh, yeah.
Has she ever told you the story? And this actually is something about commercial invoices and any of your customs paper, how important this is. So we're talking about, you know, localization. What about from your manufacturers? So she brought over these, I think they were pylons. Has she ever told you this?
No.
She brought over these pylons, orange pylons. I think that's what the product was, right? And she let the customer or the manufacturer fill out the paperwork. Well, they translated the orange pylons into fiery pyramids. Well, guess what happened to those products? So even at that level, like if you've got somebody that's handling this, your broker or a logistics person that's in China, I mean, make sure you give them the proper information. You know, you would think the manufacturer would know. But, you know, in this case, she'll show you. Like basically on her bill of lading, they're fiery pyramids, which did get pulled, by the way. And I don't even know how they got taxed, but probably at the most.
God.
But yeah, it can happen. The other thing about translations, like one area that I think is really important is if you do get sponsored brands. So you've got that ability to have that little piece of copy, you know, to help sell the product. Do you ever get asked to translate for PPC at all?
Sometimes we deliver the top keywords for PPC campaigns, but we don't do any platinum keywords or broad or, you know, exact phrases or something. We just deliver like top, let's say 20 keywords that you can use in your PPC campaigns, but you have to do your own keyword research and you have to do your own stuff for your PPC. Like, it's not like we're going to deliver this and like, this is it. This is all it works. There's much more than that. But we're happy to just, you know, deliver a list that you can use in the PPC. But we get asked to do that a lot. And we just send our top keywords from our top, you know, research, because we do it like we just don't use like Helium 10. We use also like Excel formulas, like different stuff. Like we sometimes it's possible even to dig out like a keyword that your competitors are not even ranked for. I mean, it doesn't happen for all of the products, but it happened for like one knee sleeve that we were doing. And there was like a really golden nugget keyword hidden over there. And it was relevant. It was very relevant for the product, but none of those 8 competitors were ranking for it on page 1. And by using like these Excel formulas, you can dig out a lot of those. Now, if this is possible in the US marketplace, just imagine how possible it is on other international marketplaces, where I'm pretty sure that a lot of people don't do a decent keyword research because they give it to their VA, they just use Google Translate, they just translate whatever, or they just use that Google Sheet, Google Translate formula, and they just put it in. So I'm pretty sure that on international marketplaces, there's so much more room for improvement in your listings and how to get ahead of your competitors, because I'm pretty sure, because I know what sellers we work with and what they did. I mean, we do also feedbacks on listings that are already translated in your keywords, and I know what I see, and I see a big mess. And this is coming from 7 to 8 figure sellers. These are not like sellers that have just like launched one product. This is coming from very big sellers, but it doesn't really, you know, make any difference, because this is what I've seen happens everywhere. So I think if you do things right, if you have people in your team, or maybe outsource this to other native people or people who know Amazon and what they're doing, I think you can really make an amazing jump in your sales while doing that.
Okay, very good. Now, on the new international, there's a bunch of new international marketplaces that are out there. What's new and what's cool? Why would you go to these new places?
Right. Well, I've just read that Amazon Netherlands, they doubled their, like, whoever was selling, doubled their revenue in the last 2-3 months. The whole year has been quite low in sales. And I think the biggest blame for that is that they haven't rolled out their PPC by like November, I think. And that's why I think that everybody have seen like a jump in scales in sales. And it's been like, I don't know, like 30% or something, which is amazing for the Netherlands. And we've had a lot of people wanting to go there and sell. But I think that people were just really hungry for a new marketplace, as the Netherlands, after the last European marketplace, it was a couple of years until the Netherlands kind of showed up. And so it was just like, oh, here it is, new opportunity. This is how I had to get ahead of my competitors. But actually now what's trending is Sweden, definitely. Sweden is an amazing country. They have their own special e-commerce culture. They have like all the IKEAs, they have Nelly.se, it's like so many different stores, and people really love to buy online. E-commerce penetration is super high, and I think people are going to get some great results with the Swedish marketplace. And what's very interesting also is UAE. We've had also like an increase in interest there. Because it's very simple, actually, because like UAE is not a big marketplace, and in a lot of categories, they don't have a lot of products. And for instance, like UAE, it's a country full of expats, right? A lot of like, you know, like Americans, Englishmen, like Europeans, they go there and work for big companies. And they usually rent apartments. They rent empty apartments. And they have to buy home decor, right? Like furnishings and stuff. And it's really, really expensive in Dubai to buy those. And if you can make those a little bit cheaper than what you can buy in store, you can definitely score big in the category of home decor, because it's only like 500 products in that category. And when you compare it to the US, it's like 5,000 products at least in home decor, maybe even like 50,000 products in home decor. And UAE is really good because you know that this is what people buy. It's not like what category should I sell in or should my product work. If you're in home decor, I would definitely recommend UAE. They also have FBA and everything. That might be potentially very, very good marketplace for you.
What are you thinking about Singapore?
Well, Singapore is somewhat similar because, you know, it's a rich country. E-commerce penetration is like 90%. They're also expats, and they also want like home decor, because in Singapore, I've probably been there, it's like small apartments. They don't have a lot of space. They also like want some home organizational, you know, perks, like whatever. And I think that that's also a very good category for Singapore as well. And that marketplace is important for Amazon because that's actually a gateway to Southeast Asia. And that's why that marketplace is very, very interesting for Amazon. I think if Singapore was not located there, even though if it was a rich country, I don't think it would have been that important. But I think, you know, it's important out of the Southeast Asian regions.
They are probably the most aggressive marketers out of all of the new. I mean, I'm getting emails from Singapore every day, or at least once a week anyway. We're talking about Amazon. Are there any other marketplaces that you're looking at that are also good to open up in these international spots?
You know what? Like, in light of recent events, future events, and that's Brexit. So for people who don't know, Brexit means that UK is going to leave the European Union. And then if you're a seller in the UK, or maybe if you're a US seller who decided to put their inventory in the UK, then you're not going, if you're part of the pan-European program, which means if you can sell in other European marketplaces, you would not be able to ship your inventory from the UK to these countries. And what's hot and what's cool, I think, is that a lot of UK sellers are now looking to move their inventory to Germany so they could send like products elsewhere and not only in the UK. So we've seen a trend of people just, you know, going for their German listings, German marketplace. And Germany, even though it's the biggest marketplace now, it's going to have complete domination. And I think it's going to be even bigger than it is. So I would definitely recommend, if you want to do international scaling, that you'd start with Germany, definitely. And the newest marketplace, I mean, this hasn't been announced officially yet, but it's probably going to roll out in Q1 next year, probably, is Poland. And that's going to be very, very interesting. It's a huge country. They have like over 12,000 online stores, and their marketplace Allegro is like in top 10 marketplaces, along Tmall and, you know, other like amazingly big marketplaces. So I think that Poland would be really, really good marketplace potentially to, you know, scale there as well. People are hungry for Amazon, I think, you know, and that could possibly turn out to be very good. Also, in international marketplaces, PPC clicks don't have to be that expensive because you don't have that many competitors. I mean, there's so many things that you could take advantage of. And honestly, this year, this has been like the best year for international scaling. And I have never seen, and we never got that many inquiries as we've got this year. I just think that people saw complete potential. And they just decided maybe, you know, not to sell on the US marketplace, maybe too many competitors, maybe, you know, like, you know, they wanted to do something new, something fresh. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of sellers who sell only on the US, on the US marketplace or UK, have never checked their products on different international marketplaces. You know, maybe you have like only four or five competitors versus 50 you have on your home marketplace, and you have never checked that and never even thought about going there and doing that. And also Germany this year, due to COVID, and I don't know if this is going to be valid for 2021, they had their taxes lowered to 17% instead of 21 as an encouragement for, you know, sellers to, you know, just go and sell more and, you know, as a help, sort of a help. But that's a lot. I mean, 3% like in taxes, it's a lot of discount, right? So there are many, many marketplaces where I think you have a lot of room for your business, and you have never went there and not even tried to, you know, see what's up. And I just wanted to, like, just forgot one thing when we were talking about your own website and copywriting and everything. One of the main things in 2021 is going to be the changes in Google. Like in May, they have announced that, you know, if you don't have a responsive website by Google standards, which are set super high, you're not going to get indexed for anything. So this is like one of the most important things that sellers who definitely have their own website should pay attention to, like 100%. So whatever you do by May, make your website responsive so Google likes it sufficiently.
Very good. Kelsey, do we have any questions?
We have a couple questions here. One is from Usman. For the UK marketplace, what would be the secondary language you would work on? Like in the US, it would be Spanish.
I wouldn't work for another language in the UK. Like, I haven't never seen that anybody's searching in any other language. Like, when you look for keywords, and by the search volume and some other filters that you want to use, I have never seen a foreign language quote so high as Spanish does in the US keywords. So maybe some like dialect differences, maybe, you know, like using some different types of English, but I would not use a foreign language as in like German or Italian or something like that.
Yes, Simon is saying Scottish might be a good Scottish dialect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just the different versions of English, but not the foreign language for sure.
Okay, and from Justin, is the UK good for home decor too?
I mean, that's a million-dollar question. I mean, they have like tons of categories that are good on UK. I mean, why not? Like, for instance, like for Germany, child toys are just going through the roof every single year. Like kids' toys, like anything that has to do with your toddlers, like DIY kits, okay, especially like this year DIY kits, but everything that has to do with like makeup for kids or anything like in Germany, that's absolutely amazing. But for the UK, I'm not sure if home decor is like, that's like one of the best categories. Like home decor is definitely a good category to sell in, but I'm not sure like how good that will be for your product, for instance. You know, you just have to do the research for that.
Okay, great. And we have from Fatiha. When you say you translate US listings to Spanish, do you make a brand new listing or do you include the Spanish words in the back end?
Yeah, so when you do translations of the English to Spanish one, you have to translate the whole listing, definitely. I mean, this is what the whole point in, you know, localizing and translating it, but you also do a new keyword research and then you will have your keywords in front end and also in back end. But what we, for instance, also do, we are going to use some related search terms in where we see that it makes sense. So you will definitely translate the whole listing, the text, and you will do a separate keyword research and then also use keywords in that newly translated text and in backend search terms.
Okay. And our last question from Usman, how do you do your keyword research? Could you share in detail?
Well, basically we do helium, like everything starts from helium 10 and, you know, magnet and cerebro and Frankenstein and whatever, you can put pieces of the puzzle together. And, what I would love to recommend is this little tool. It's called AMZ Suggestion Expander and we love to use it. It's an add-on for Chrome. It doesn't give you like a search volume numbers or any numbers, but this is very good when you are maybe selling on a new marketplace and you don't have that many competitors. Because all of these tools that you're using, they extract information from your competitors. So what if you don't have competitors? Like, where did you get your information? What if they're like not that good keywords, right? So what this tool does is you just add it to your Chrome. It's an extension. Then you go to Amazon. You type like, let's say bonsai in the search field. And then you're going to get this drop down menu with the keywords that could be used before and after bonsai. So you're going to get like bonsai tree kit or green bonsai tree kit, and you're going to get a lot of really, really good ideas for keywords. And but unfortunately, you don't get any search volume. So I would not be 100% sure in using these in like first two bullets or title, but maybe somewhere like in a backend or product description. But this is something additional, which works very nice. And it showed itself that this with combination of like Helium 10 really works great. And then after we're like done with the, you know, Helium 10, we download everything. We put that all in Excel. We use some formulas. And if you want to know more about these formulas, I'm happy to share it with you. So if you can send me an email, I'll be happy to explain this in detail, maybe give you some print screens and stuff. So feel free to contact me for that.
So, Yana, what was the name of the tool that you were talking about?
AMZ Suggestion Expander.
Very good. And another one that we use outside of the Helium 10 tool, is what is it called? Keywordtool.io.
Oh yeah, I know that one.
That's very good as well.
Yeah. That was good, but that was good. That was also before, like, ever, it's a, like a really old tool, right? Because ever since we started, that was like Keyword Tool was our go-to tool. But then we were happier with the international results being better in Helium, and then, you know, we switched to other stuff. Helium just a couple of months ago, I think now it's better, but they're the only tool now that have the Dutch keyword research. Before that, no tools were, you know, good. So you would just go to, I don't know, Keyword Planner, or just gonna, you know, try to find something that works overall, like that ranks on Google. But now Helium 10 is better. It was really bad because it was like in beta and they were just giving out some really bad results, but now I think it's getting better, and they're probably going to introduce Sweden soon, and yeah, definitely.
Okay, very good. Was there any other questions, Kels?
Yeah, no other questions. I did throw in a question about if people are using the transparency program. So okay. If anyone from the audience, we had a couple of people, kind of mixed result, 50-50, we're using transparency. Darwin's using it. Fatiha is not yet. Alan's not.
You know what? We use the transparency program for some of our customers, and it's depending on the customer, it's absolutely worth its weight in gold. You know, you pay a little bit extra, but especially if you're prone to hijackers, you know, this will save your butt.
Oh, we do have a question from Simon.
Yeah.
Also, hello from Brampton, which is actually pretty close to us. It's about.
I used to live in Brampton. Small world.
Okay, from Simon, how do you make listings English and Spanish in the North America? In North America, do we need separate listings?
Oh, we answered that one, Kels.
Okay. Yeah. And from one Oleg,
job. That's all one job.
Hello, almost missed you today. Welcome, Oleg.
Hey, Oleg.
Yeah, we can discuss. Just one more from Usman. How do you optimize your listings? Could you share some insights? This Facebook crashed. Is there any optimization
for international listings? So yeah. Usman, if you could be a little bit more clear, are you talking about how you would optimize your listing for the international market? I think that's what he's talking about, Jana.
Okay, so I have like a one really important thing to share, and this is what we've seen happened 2 weeks ago. I don't know why, but Amazon's been pretty crazy this year. So I guess they decided to do this overnight. So German listings, whoever had HTML code in product description, their listings got banned. And what? As soon as, and this was going on for a couple of weeks now. I think some of them are up, but some of them are still down for the German listings. And we've seen that when sellers, when they just, you know, got rid of the HTML code, their listings got up again. This
was
is
it
what
quick?
Happened.
Did it happen over, like, did it happen in a few
it
minutes?
It happened really quick. Like, it happened, no, it happened, like, in 24 hours, but they were up. So that's something that's weird that happened.
Wow.
And I just wanted to mention one, it's really interesting, and I think a lot of people don't use it, and that's video ads for international marketplaces. Even in the US, I think that a lot of people don't use it, you know, and it's really unfortunate that people don't use it, because those video ads, they take a lot of, you know, space. You want to click on it. It's very user friendly. And in video ads in international marketplace, they're also like even less people know about them and use them. So video ads are definitely something that you will love to use on international marketplaces, and your competitors are highly unlikely going to use it. And also what's very important that in video ads, like if you have like a sound or something, if somebody's talking, it has to have the titles in the target language. So if somebody's talking, like a video, whatever, like you have the titles, subtitles, sorry, you'll have to have them in German. Even if you leave them in English, they're not going to be shown on German marketplace. That's not good. And also for video ads on international marketplaces, if you have like a headline or like a couple of sentences, Google, Amazon is going to translate that for you. And that's bad, because that's going to be Google Translate. So don't let Amazon translate your headlines. I mean, if you're using video ads, you're completely ahead of the game, right? But don't let Amazon ruin that for you by just letting them translate that automatically. So find someone who's going to translate that for you. And what's even better, like if you use the keyword in that headline, your video ads are going to pop up every time somebody searches for that keyword. So that's kind of cool. So that's, I think it's a really good thing for international marketplace, because it's very, very easy to, you know, get more exposed in Europe just by using that.
Yeah, great tip. Very good tip. I see Edward has a question.
Okay, so Edward is saying, I just found that someone is selling my products under my US, as in the Germany marketplace. And because of this issue, I can't enroll that ASIN in transparency program.
Okay. So it's your product. You own the brand.
What should I do? Only a report is enough. Is that the only thing you can do?
Do you, is a brand registered? Do you own the brand? So if you can just type in the answer there.
Okay. And Oleg was asking about the keyword search tool. That's the AMZ suggestion expander, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. And, back to Usman, he was saying specifically for UK and the US, how to optimize a listing.
Okay, so Usman, probably that's another podcast. Optimization, there's so many little tips and tricks that we can make that into a full podcast for you. So we'll get to that in probably 2021. You can also ask, and we could talk a bit more about that in the group, okay? If I understand the question correctly.
Yeah. And I think this is our last one. What about the Indian marketplace?
Well, as far as I know, Indian marketplace is full of very small sellers. I know some very big sellers that are from India, but selling on the US marketplace. But when it comes to Indian marketplace, we're just not doing that because I think it's a crazy marketplace, as I said, with tons of like small sellers, and we never really got into that. That's probably the only marketplace we're not doing. That and the Australian one.
Okay.
Yeah, that is changing though. Indian marketplace, I think, is the second fastest, fastest growing, and it's number two right now. So we'll get Megla back on and talk about that.
Edward, yes, I own the brand, but he is selling the products under another brand, but under my ASIN and with my pictures.
Yeah, the only thing I would do there, that sounds a little wonky. You could report him. I would just report him for copyright infringement and see what happens.
Okay, and for Manny, hello, Yana. Are there any restrictions in the baby categories? Do you have to upload the certifications to Amazon?
Depending on what product are you selling, some of the products really have to have certification, especially if there's like baby putting something in their mouth or, you know, some formulas, baby formulas, or, you know, of course there are restrictions and you really have to be careful with that. It's like, you know, like selling supplements, like you have to have tons of certificates, and especially if you're selling kids products, it's a very specific category and you really have to, you know, pay attention to what you're doing. I would do a thorough research on that, definitely.
And I think that's it for questions. Yana, do you want to explain the little giveaway you have, the consultation?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. So for all of you guys who are interested in more in selling on international marketplaces, I am happy to do a consultation. You can send me an email at yana@wildt-translations.com and we can set up a call. And also for all of those who have already translated their listings and you're maybe wondering why they're underperforming, we'll be happy to give our feedback and to just point out on the low-hanging fruits and what can be improved in your listing.
Yana, I'm going to add to that because we're getting down to Christmas week. Why don't we do a second giveaway during this call for anybody who's interested in a press release? So we'll offer a written for you, done for you press release as a second giveaway. So let's look, let's go. I want Yana. Just type that in, hashtag Yana for the first, and then hashtag Beard Guy for the second. And Kelsey, we can do two giveaways for this podcast. While that's happening and while people are registering, let's talk about mistakes. What are some mistakes that people do when they're either working within an international marketplace or with translation?
Right. Well, I would say definitely mistake number one is to put keyword research to Google Translate and then just basically to use your keywords that you have in one marketplace, put it in Google Translate and just use them as you get them in results for the other marketplace. A lot of times, especially like German keywords, for instance. They're compound words. And a lot of times long tail keywords are two different words make a long tail keyword in English. And you would think like, wait, is this a mistake? Whatever like Google Translate wrote, I need to have two separate words, right? And also like in Helium 10, this is a mistake. I mean, it's not a glitch in software or anything, but it's not customized to German language. Like if you guys are using Helium 10, if you use like a paintbrush or whatever, and the word count is automatically set as number two, you're gonna get results in two separated words. And if you do like an amazing keyword research, you'll think like, okay, I've covered everything. That's basically everything that my competitor is ranked for. You're probably wrong, because as long as that word count is set as number two, you're not going to get any of those chunky compound words that people use in German language. You'll have to go back and do another keyword research and put word count as number one. So you do get those compound words, and those compound words are always in top high volume keywords, because these words are the part of, you know, German language and people use them a lot. So if you're using Helium 10, just make sure to do the word count two and then go back and do word count as one to get all the keyword research for German language. That's German only. All other languages have separate words except German, but as German being, you know, leading market, and I'm sure a lot of people want to be successful at that, do keyword research properly.
What about restrictions in international marketplaces? Do you see any?
In terms of?
Just restrictions, what you can and can't do.
For instance, like what's very interesting is that the whole thing with bullets not being written in caps, and Amazon is taking you down because of that. That's not happening in Europe. You can totally do that. I mean, they're probably still not there yet, but we haven't had any complaints or anybody whose listing has been taken down. Sellers are still really want to use the caps lock and bullets, and you can still do that, no problem whatsoever. That's what I've seen. That's definitely okay. And for some other categories, we've seen that the German listings, they would have the shorter title, shorter than 200 characters, where 200 characters were available, and now they're kind of shrinked to 120. It didn't happen to all categories, but it did happen to a lot of those. That's also what we mentioned. So that's pretty strict. And I think, most of the restrictions go for the German marketplace because it's the biggest one. Spain, Italy, France are there, but they're not as big. So I would say that all the restrictions there are definitely, always going to be valid for a German marketplace. And of course, I mean, all of the, you know, which is totally restricted for the US marketplace, is also absolutely valid for European marketplace. So, you know, definitely no mentions of any, you know, health issues, medical, whatever. I mean, basically just the standard TOS, it also applies for Europe. And then of course it depends from product to product. About somebody mentioned here, you know, certificates, some things they're not allowed to mention. Like for instance, a lot of sellers in Europe, they don't know that they should not use Velcro, because that's registered and you cannot use Velcro for your products. For instance, like if you have like a, I don't know, anything that has Velcro on it, you're not allowed to use Velcro at all in Europe. It was this car.
I just seeing something that comes up with Usman. Now, we've got a few minutes left. So once again, if you want to register for today's giveaway, you can register by hashtag IWantYana or hashtag BeardGuy. And just because I'm feeling nice, I'm going to throw a press release in with Yana as well. So whoever wins Yana's, and by the way, this is incredible. Like with Yana's giving away today is the ability for you to talk one-on-one with her about translation or international listings. So try doing that with a consultant. So it's worth a ton. Plus we're going to throw in a press release. So we're going to run this for another 30 seconds to a minute. And then we'll run the Wheel of Kelsey. It looks like Usman's got something. Oh, the difference between bytes and characters and all that good stuff. Okay, so a byte is basically best way to describe this, I guess, and I don't know where you can find out what each symbol represents, how many bytes, but a letter is, I think, a byte. Characters like the ampersand or symbols like that usually take up 3 bytes. Best thing to do is to take your information, and there is a character tool, and you can just check it out anywhere. Just type in a character count tool, and they'll tell you exactly what your information is. If you have a hashtag in there, or a semicolon or a colon, it'll tell you exactly how many character or bytes there are within that phrase. So hopefully that helps you out.
We also have the character tool, but ours is called motherf.in.
All right, there we go.
That one. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, boy.
Okay, yeah, that's it. Motherfn.
Okay. Kelsey, it looks like there's 2 more, then we'll cut off the questions.
Let's see. Rad, do we have to print the packaging in German or Dutch language to gain the market?
No, you don't have to. You can just print them in English, but it's highly recommended to use German if you want to do the German packaging, definitely. A lot of people go with that, and they have better results than when they leave it in English.
Okay. And from Manny, does Amazon.de need to have these certifications, or the buyer?
Does Amazon need these? What'll happen is, you should talk to your manufacturer and see if they do have certification. We did a product the other day that somebody asked for, and luckily we asked the manufacturer. Manufacturer did not have the certification and would not have been able to be listed on Amazon. So you want to make sure that you do have proper certification when you start looking into researching a product. And yes, certification, depending on the products, depending on the niche, you will need certification. Like, let's say it's a toy and it's anyways, let's say it's certified that a child can't choke on the piece, or the paint, or with wood, there's different certifications. There's all sorts of different certifications that you need in specific areas. And yes, you'll be asked to upload them into Amazon. And by the way, that's also just it's a safety thing. It's a psychological thing. If somebody comes and sees that yours is certified and it's safe compared to somebody who has no certification, this is even on your own e-com listing, then people will be much more inclined to buy from you. Okay. And I think, let's say that's it for the end of the questions for today. Let's go into the Wheel of Kelsey. Everybody else will answer in the group.
Okay. Yeah. So if you didn't have your question answered, you can go over to the group. We also have a post that we just did called Moronic Monday. That's every Monday. We do any kind of question, stupid or complex, you can put it there. So if your question didn't get answered, you can go ahead and put that in that area. It was just posted today.
Or it could be just a comment, right?
Yeah. Just a comment. Yep. Okay. So we're doing this on one wheel.
It'll be one wheel. Yeah.
But, we'll have a little bit of difficulties if it's, cause I think some people only want one thing.
Okay.
Versus the other, but
you figure it out, Kels. That's okay. Your job. You get paid the big bucks.
All right. So let's do the wheel of names. So I believe all of these people would like a press release. So let's do this. So 3, 2, 1.
Ooh, there we go.
Okay.
Perfect.
Woo, congrats.
Yes.
So, Fatiha, she said she doesn't have a live product right now.
We'll just keep that. I know Fatiha. So just get in contact with me, and whenever that goes live, we'll definitely get you that press release.
And actually, she was voted for Yana as well. So I think we can give her both. And then do you want to do an extra one for the press release? No?
Yep.
Okay.
So there we go. Just to make things confusing, Fatia, you won both. How's that?
All right. And then for the extra press release, let's do it. So Fatia, you're gone. All right. So for the press release from Norm.
All right.
All right, Irina.
Irina, so you just, all you need to do is pass along, Kelsey, your information, and we'll make sure that you get these press releases. And we will pass the information over from Fatia over to you, Jana, so you can make arrangements for the consult.
Sure.
All right, so you're done. You're off the hook. That easy.
I want to see some more.
I didn't cough in your ear once. So this is, you know what? Podcasts are better than cough syrup because I'm feeling a whole lot better. When I came in here, I was coughing and oh man. So anyways, thank you for being on the podcast today. I really appreciate you sharing your time with us. And how do people get a hold of you if they are interested in your service?
Sure. So as I mentioned, they can shoot me an email at Jana, that's J-A-N-A, at wildt-translations.com. What I would also love for everyone to like our Facebook page, Wildt Translations, because if you like the content that I was putting out today, we're always up to date with some new changes, some really interesting facts, help, advice, anything on our Facebook page. We post fairly regularly, and I think it's really good content when it comes to international marketplaces over there.
So let's do this together. What do you want people to do? Smash some likes, subscribe,
smash some likes. And shoot me an email. That's it.
Perfect. Okay. That's it. That's great. All right. So Jana, thank you. And that's it.
See, thank you painless. So much for having me today.
Painless. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for joining us today in the podcast. Kelsey, if you're around.
Oh, yes, I'm back.
Very good. All right.
So, yes, thank you, everyone, for watching the episode. Lots of questions, lots of engagement. It's great. So, again, anything, if you have any questions, you can always go straight over to the Facebook group. We do a weekly question post. So if you have any questions, stupid or otherwise, throw them on over there and we'll answer them. Also, if you are interested in asking a question to the guest and you want to get in your question early, you can also put your question there and just put a hashtag and the person's name and we'll add that to the script.
All right.
And yeah, so the Facebook group name is Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA and E-commerce Collective. So you can search that. And yeah, I think that's about it. If you haven't yet, like Jana says, smash that like button, ring the bell. And if you are catching just the tail end of the show, you can go over to our YouTube page, Norman Farrar, and you'll be able to find all the full episodes and highlight clips there.
Okay, so on Wednesday, we're going to be talking to Sharon Evan, founder of Amazon Alpha Coaching. And Sharon's going to be talking to us about how to find, source, and launch and scale your products for 2021. So that's it for today, everybody. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon EST. And thanks again for watching and enjoy the rest of your day. Lunch with them.